State.
New music from Taylor Swift, currently number 2 on the Billboard Boomer charts. Before that, some early Michael Jackson with Can't Stop Touching Timmy. In retrospect, probably a cry for help. At the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Jeff Bezos, the latest billionaire to seek the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination. He'll explain his surprise endorsement by the Washington Post and how you'll get a $50 Amazon gift card when he's president. But first, questionable material with Jack and Brian. You are listening to Questionable Material with Jack Helmuth and Brian Sack. This episode, interior design tips. Brian's inventions. The head of the Russian Olympic Committee.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a podcast.
That's great.
That was a good one?
Oh, very good.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, Brian.
No? All right, whatever.
Oh, man. I hate fighting in front of our audience.
You should only fight with your wife.
Speaking of my wife.
Yes, I know.
What? Yeah. What do you know?
What about nothing? No. Why are you looking
at me?
Why
do you say
like
that?
Nothing. No reason. No reason.
No, but why?
No reason.
Because you're acting like you know
she's
her.
Nice. She's great. Okay.
But great
soft.
In what way?
No way. She's cuddly. Soft. Good.
What do you say before nice?
Nothing.
She's talking over each other.
She's generous. Yeah. Good. Go. Yeah.
I know she's generous, but generous in what way?
Generous. Just touching. Feel me.
Touching, and she says like nice, interesting things. That feel like a touching thing.
Bum touch. What were you saying?
What, she touches homeless people? She
says my bum.
Your butt. What?
I don't know what you're saying.
What are you saying?
I don't know. You're saying something.
I was trying to say my wife's.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
What do you say?
What? Yeah. I'm agreeing that she's your wife. This makes it all the more dirty. Okay. She's your wife. Sure.
Yeah. My wife, Betsy.
Yeah.
Okay. She, on her podcast.
Yeah.
Apparently plugged our podcast.
Woohoo.
Hey. You can say that. She gets incredible numbers of listeners, viewers, because it's a podcast.
Right.
Listeners.
They listen.
They listen to her. She's had this podcast. I forget the name of it, but it's a good podcast.
Forget the name of it.
It's Design Town.
Design Town. That's what it is.
What the hell? What is the name of her podcast?
World of Wizards.
Betsy Helmuth's World of Wizards.
What's a D&D podcast? Dungeons and Dragons.
Which she knows nothing about.
Yeah.
She doesn't like fantasy stuff.
I don't know what a paladin is. What is this?
Yes, it's just the entire time is her just looking at paladins and saying,
orcs.
This sounds dumb.
Orcs?
Yeah. It's not a good podcast, but she also has the other podcast about, it's called Affordable Interior Design.
Yeah. Oh, now you remember.
Yeah. No, I always remember. And she gets huge numbers and she plugged our podcast.
Because I plugged her.
Podcast.
This is a terrible way for you to find out, Jack.
Yeah. No, so I thought maybe in order to keep her listeners, mm-hmm. we should do like a design segment right now. We should talk about, because you're such an expert in design.
Yeah.
We should just talk about design.
Oh, yeah. I love design.
What's your theory on, art or something?
Art?
Yeah, like on the walls. And.
Well, you always want to hang art at 30 inches.
Above the floor?
Yes.
Okay.
In case Dr. Ruth Westheimer comes to your house and wants to walk around and look at stuff.
Okay. Because
for me, it's awfully low.
Yeah.
She's a very short woman.
She's incredibly small.
Yeah.
She won't be around much longer.
The rule is you mount.
That's a design rule.
30 inches off the floor.
Okay.
So, and that way, if she does come to your house, surprise visit, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're going to have to take down everything and hold it for her and show her.
Or you'll have to like lift her up like a.
Right. Which she doesn't like.
Yeah, I would imagine not.
Very delicate. She's, her bones are brittle.
Well, I mean, can you just carry her around on your shoulders and then just have your art at normal height?
You can put her on a baby Bjorn and just kind of walk around.
I did not know that was, that's a thing. So
yeah.
that's an accepted design tip.
Yes.
Okay. So that's a pro tip.
Yep.
Okay. What's the design pros rule for choosing and laying down carpets and rugs?
You always want the rugs to match the drapes.
Why is that? What's the thinking behind that as a expert designer as well?
No reason. I mean, carpets should always hide the floor underneath.
Mm-hmm. What stains floors in your experience?
Red wine is a culprit.
Uh-huh.
Blood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Doggy... detritus, dog waste.
Okay.
Dog feces.
Uh-huh.
Canine feces.
So if we looked under the Sack family carpeting at your house, if we pulled it up, we would see a menagerie of blood, wine, and dog excrement.
No dog stuff.
Oh, okay.
Strictly blood and wine.
Oh, strictly blood and wine.
Yeah.
Is that
we're not a dog family.
That's right. Of course. What the blood and wine though? What was that an event?
So we do a lot of wine tastings, but with mixed martial arts people. So it devolves into a kind of a bloody but classy brawl.
Okay.
So it'd be like, oh, this is a very nice Cabernet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a nice nose. So you like the legs. It's tannic. And then kidney punch, face smash, crotch smush. And then there's blood all over the place and a nice Cabernet on the floor.
You don't necessarily clean that or Roomba that. You just...
No, you just put more carpets on top.
Okay. So how high...
It's called stacking.
Okay. That's a design term.
Yeah.
Stacking and for carpeting.
Yeah.
About how many carpets do you have in your house? In your main...
Depends.
Well, room.
In the dining room and living room area, I'd say we're about 6 carpets up now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's got to be
it's a little bit of a step entering the room.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
The Roomba can't make it.
Well, Brian, thanks for the tips, and I'm sure
the tips.
This is like classic Brian Jack stuff. We love to talk about design, so welcome, listeners.
Thanks
and fans. No, not you, them.
Oh,
hey, Brian.
Yes, Jack.
So I wanted to ask you about some things I found of yours.
I see.
Uh-huh.
Screenplays, perhaps?
Not screenplays.
Books I wrote, perhaps?
Nope, not books, not children's books. No, not
that. Sitcom titles or something?
No.
Religions?
Founded?
No? Oh, what is this now?
Products, the advertising things?
Nope. Okay.
No, this is just, I love working with someone like you who has so many interests and who's an expert on so many things.
Mm-hmm.
It really is exciting to have you and to then be able to talk to you about these things that you totally know about and definitely know that this stuff is coming.
Yes, I do.
Yep. So, Brian, you're a world-class inventor. You have, how many patents would you say you have?
Patents?
Mm-hmm. For all of your different inventions.
Oh, boy. I lost track.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, easily 80.
80?
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
That almost seems like a smaller number than I was hoping for.
800 is what I meant. About 800.
800 inventions.
Yeah, I think so.
Goodness gracious. Yeah. That's so much inventing you do. I was wondering if I could ask you about some of your new inventions that you have coming to market over the coming year or so.
Sure, because they've all been patented, so I'm not worried about somebody stealing them.
Yeah, absolutely. So don't even think about trying this. Just because you can't buy it in a store now doesn't mean that you can steal this idea, because these are great ideas, Brian. So I was wondering if you could tell me about your invention called cat skis, jet skis for cats.
Cat skis, the jet skis for cats.
Yeah, that's such a, I mean, it's a very, it seems like a very niche market. I know you're not a dog family.
No,
you're a cat family.
We have a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, cats are lazy.
Yep, they sure are.
And you need to get them out of the house.
Yep.
So I came up with the idea for cat skis, because cats love water skiing.
Do they really?
I don't know. We're going to find out. And so
you haven't tested this?
I have not tested it.
Oh,
my cat, you know, every time I want to bring my cat out to the Hudson River and try jet skiing, you know, she's sleeping.
Oh,
so cat ski. So it's basically a mini jet ski with 4 holes to stick the cat legs into. Okay. And then, you know, they kind of, you know, steer with their face.
Oh my gosh.
Kind of, wherever they look, the jet ski, cat ski will go.
Oh, so it's just, there's some wheelchair technology is sort of similar to that.
Right.
For
there's a handicapped man in our building and I took it from his chair because he parks it out in the hallway.
Wait a minute. Did you jacked this guy's chair?
No, not the chair. Just the technology, the steering technology.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So yeah, the cats use it.
Okay.
So yeah, the cat can kind of, you know, turn. Okay, when the cat looks to the right, the jet ski goes to the right. Cat looks to the left, jet ski goes to the left. Cat ski.
Okay.
Cat ski.
Okay, cat skis.
Yeah.
How many hours a day would you say your cat sleeps?
18.
18 hours a day. So this is something for those 6 hours a day where you, as a cat owner, you don't necessarily know what to do with your cat.
Yeah. You want them to be entertained.
Yep.
Right now, her only source of entertainment is looking at the pigeons.
The pigeons, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Sitting in the window, staring at pigeons.
Looking at what will never be.
Yeah. Just wanting to kill them, really wanting to kill them, eventually jumping into the window, mm-hmm. scaring them away. And then
that is entertaining.
Yeah. It was right. I mean, but I think this is more physical for her to get her out of the house.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you had a lot of success with giving your cat a bath? Because I have heard that cats don't love water.
They don't love water mm-hmm. because they don't know water. Oh, okay. You know, they avoid it.
Oh.
And Catskies really puts them in the thick of it. Like, okay, let's get you on the water. Let's show you how much fun water sports can be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's going to take a little encouragement. Maybe some pushing of her legs down into this cat ski leg tubes, mm-hmm. Which grip.
Oh, they really hold on to that?
Yeah, they'll hold on. So, you know,
almost a vice-like?
Otherwise, she'd probably like pull out.
And immediately jump off because she'd be terrified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this, you know, you get it in there and then you just kind of, you know, you there's a little screw and you just kind of close it in a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So that way they can't just yank their legs out.
Yeah.
That way they can enjoy it more.
It seems more like a torture device for cats. My fear is that cats are going to go out into the open sea.
Mm-hmm. They will.
So they just zoom right past the Statue of Liberty and just keep like head towards England.
Yeah.
But there's not enough gas in one of those. They're going to be like, they're going to go run out of gas they're probably hit international waters about 10 miles out and then they're just done. And then what happens?
Well, you rely on the current. I mean, eventually the current will bring them to shore.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
But at that time, I mean, think about it. Normally they'd just be sleeping and here they are in the middle of the ocean on a cat ski with their legs pinned in, you know, so that they can't even catch
fish, but they can't even like, what a time for them to like catch a fish and be able to nourish themselves.
Yeah, no, that would be, I mean, they can think about it.
Oh man. Sort of like the pigeons.
Yeah. And then slowly they'll drift towards the coast.
About how long do you think it'll take to get back once they hit international waters to get back to U.S. soil?
I tried an experiment with some alley cats.
Oh, just like cats you found just like roaming the streets?
Cats no one loves.
Okay.
And I put them out there and then I waited to see. And so I dropped out six in international waters. I found two. One seemed okay.
Okay, great.
It was a little weird to begin with, I think, as an alley cat.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
So I unhooked it and it kind of wandered off into the dunes. But it was alive.
Sure. Well, okay, that's a success.
Yeah. And then the other one, I wouldn't say it was alive.
Wait, but I thought you said two were alive.
Well, two made it back to the coast.
Oh, I see.
So they technically, you know, they accomplished getting back to the coast, but the other one was kind of unalive. It wasn't lively.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a shame. What got it? Do you have any sense as to what killed that cat?
Curiosity.
No, I don't think that's it.
No,
I think it's junk science, man.
Yeah, no, it wasn't curiosity. I mean, my guess would be whatever gnawed on it in the midsection.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Oh, so you just found the four paws viced in and the rest is gone.
Yeah.
That's really grim.
I mean, a lot of the head was attached.
A lot of the head?
Yeah, a lot of it.
Okay.
But yeah, the main middle part of a cat, you know, what you really need.
The classic middle part.
The classic middle part.
The petting part.
The petting part was not there. So we had like a tail and two legs and then a head and most of a head and two legs. But then, yeah, the middle part that you like in your lap, the part that you pet and stuff, not there.
The good part of a cat.
Yeah, not there. No, that obviously out at sea or, you know, I don't know.
In the belly of some sort of.
Not sure what could have gotten it.
Mm-hmm.
Shark, maybe, but I don't see how they could jump up like that. But maybe the cat ski dips underwater every once in a while. I don't know.
You don't know?
No, I haven't.
You should know that.
Yeah, well, I'm not out there in the international waters looking at it.
Well, you should be. You should be riding along next to it like it's just reckless.
That's right. Do you have any sense as to what happened to those other four?
No, but yeah, you know, my thoughts and prayers.
Well, that'll do it.
Yeah.
That'll do it. How did you catch, and let's move on. How did you catch those alley cats, the six alley cats that you caught? How do you capture alley cats these days?
How do you catch an elk? Well, they love tuna.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I go to the alley with a big fishing rod.
Okay.
And I'm like, hey guys, I'm going to get some tuna. And they're like, they just kind of follow you.
Yeah.
I was like the Pied Piper.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Except for it was cats. And instead of a flute, I had a fishing rod.
Right. To catch a giant tuna.
Yeah.
Okay. And they bought it. So it's sort of like, you know, luring kids with candy in a van.
Yeah. U-Haul.
Okay. So you had a U-Haul.
Yeah. I rented a U-Haul.
Okay. And the cats just sort of slowly followed.
Yeah.
And that's when how did you?
I get them into the back of the U-Haul.
Okay.
And then once they're all in there, I close the U-Haul door. Mm-hmm. And then I turn on I have a cap light, it's a baseball cap, but it also has a light in the brim.
Yep.
And I turn that on and then I start stuffing their legs into the cat ski tubes.
Don't they resist? I imagine they're not happy. Some of them fight.
Yeah. They have claws. They have teeth. Yeah. Uh-huh. They can be difficult.
Okay.
They're alley cats.
Is there any way to like soothe them or sedate them in any way?
I mean, I was humming. I thought that might help.
You thought that would help just like where were you humming? Okay. That seems like an aggressive sound to a cat.
Yeah, no, because you were scratching me.
Oh, okay. Cat skis.
Yeah, cat skis.
You know what? I'm going to give that the Jack seal of approval. Go ahead and buy that product.
Thank you, Jack.
You're welcome. Here's an interesting one. Baby cage. Now, a lot of people sort of say like a crib sort of looks like, you know, it's like you're in jail. It's sort of cute. Right. You know, it's like your baby's in jail. And because but this is the actual baby cage. Is it what I think it is? Just a cage for babies?
It's a cage for babies, but it's portable.
Okay.
And it allows them to explore the world safely.
Oh, okay.
So you can put them in a baby cage outside. And they can kind of make their way and then crawl around but they're protected by a cage. So no dogs are going to get to them.
Right.
No, you know, well, I mean, cars can technically damage the cage with the baby in it.
Would that damage the baby?
If we, on a couple of occasions, yeah, the baby needs to be not allowed on the highway, Brenda.
Oh, man.
But aside from that, you know, take them to the playground. Mm-hmm. They're in the baby cage.
That seems like a good place for them.
Yeah. You leave them there. They can play in the sand for whatever they can reach.
Okay.
You know, if they can reach the sand, they play in the sand.
Well, they have tiny little arms and fingers. I imagine they could.
Yeah. You know, they can reach through and just touch the sand. You could slide them down the slide.
Uh-huh. And wouldn't the cage tumble over?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. But they seem to like that.
Do they?
I don't know.
Why don't you know?
Because I can't hear them.
Why can't you hear them?
Because a cage is kind of sealed.
Wait a minute. Hold on. It's a sealed cage?
Mostly.
It's a mostly sealed cage?
Yeah.
What part is not mostly sealed?
So there's a little part for them to reach out and try to touch things.
Oh, and for breathing?
Yeah. Oxygen hole, I call it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I feel like you got lucky with your reaching thing and it provided air. I feel like you dodged a bullet in that one. So it sounds like you basically just stole the idea for like a shark cage, like when you go in the ocean and want to swim with sharks but you're in a cage so the sharks can't eat you.
Yeah, it's the same premise.
Okay.
They're safe from the outside world.
Okay. But obviously you don't put your babies in the ocean, right?
Not anymore. No, not since the injunction.
Squirrel assassin.
Squirrel assassin.
Like they're just running around. They're eating their nuts. They're running around chasing each other.
Well, that's the thing. They're not eating their nuts.
What are you talking about?
They're eating your bird seed. I'm putting bird seed out in the feeder to feed birds.
Sure.
Not for some sleazy squirrel to come and jump onto my bird feeder and sit there and hang upside down eating my bird seed. That's meant for bird seed. It wasn't squirrel seed.
Uh-huh.
Bird seed.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yep. Bird seed can be expensive, especially the good kind that has like the nice sunflower seeds and stuff in it.
Why?
There's a whole hierarchy of bird seed.
Okay, that's stupid.
There's very expensive bird seed and then there's the cheap stuff.
Yeah, go for the cheap stuff. They're birds.
Yeah, but you know, you get better birds with better seed.
That
you
can't be true.
Yeah, you get the red ones and the blue ones, the cardinals, the blue jays with better seed.
What do you get for the cheap stuff?
You just get these tiny little birds. They're ugly. So yeah, you spend money on your bird seed, and then you sit there and you watch squirrels come and devour your entire.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's got to be frustrating.
Very frustrating. So then I had the idea for Squirrel Assassin.
Okay, so what is it? How does it work?
I'm going to protect my bird feeder.
Okay.
Squirrel Assassin is basically what I did was I hired ex-Mossad. Israeli intelligence.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And they will come and they will squat in your bush nearby. And they have, it's a scoped 22 caliber rifle.
Okay.
And they will sit there and they will wait for that squirrel. And when that squirrel shows up, it's lights out.
I bet.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Wow. So how long do they have to wait in the bush?
It depends what kind of squirrel problem you have. In my case, he was there. There was a Russian olive bush. Then he kind of squatted in there.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't even see him. He was good. I knew he was there.
You knew he was there.
And I was looking for him. I could not see
him. No kidding. That's fantastic.
And then I watched this squirrel kind of look around because he knows, not to mess with me.
Uh-huh.
And he comes in.
You're so tough.
He makes his way up. He jumps up on, bypasses the baffle.
Okay.
And then gets right on top of that thing. And I was looking at him for maybe 3 seconds when I saw his head explode. It was amazing. It was gorgeous. And like he did it from, there were two cardinals on either side of him. And so he missed the cardinals. His head explodes and the cardinals didn't even know what was going on. Okay. Uh-huh. So they took off, but then they came back later because the bird seed was good.
Yeah. It's quality stuff.
But it was so, and then, it happened a couple more times. and then all the squirrels were gone.
I bet.
Yeah. It was amazing.
I'm sure this gets a little dicey legally, but does it work for other, pest problems that you might have?
It's funny you say that because my wife was talking to a Jehovah's Witness and she, and he's just talking to her and she's just sitting there kind of rolling her eyes.
Uh-huh.
And then his head just explodes. And she had no idea, she scatters. I just look over and then I see the guy in the bushes and he gives me this knowing wink. I'm like, what? He's good.
That was at the house.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Does he have any level of discretion or does he just have a license to kill?
He kind of did his own thing. He was autonomous.
Okay.
He seemed to have an inkling of what needed to go.
And you were comfortable with him having the power to make those decisions?
Yeah, I had this guy do a bunch of work around the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly he's hitting me up for all this extra money for paint and all this other stuff that uh-huh. we had never approved.
Sure.
And so I'm talking to him and his head just suddenly explodes. And I realized, oh my God, this guy, this squirrel assassin is worth his weight in gold. He saved me a ton of money.
I guess. But are there going to be questions when that guy's wife, at dinner time is like, oh boy, Billy didn't come back from the sack house. Oh,
she was there at 8 o'clock that night. She's like, where's my husband? And I'm like,
what happened?
Yeah, I'm like, what are you talking about?
Did she go to the police?
No, I'm talking to her and she's like, I'm going to go to the police. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know where he is. He was here. I paid him. He left. And she's like, I'm going to the police. And she's getting into her car and her head explodes. It was magical.
Okay. Yeah. That's magic.
It was just incredible. it was like this colorful mist, just like, psh, and you don't even hear it. It was stunning. And he got her right before she shifted. So the car stayed in park.
Wow.
Oh, incredible. And we got a free car.
It really pays for itself is what you're saying.
Yeah.
That if you really play your cards right.
Yeah.
God, it seems very murdery to me.
A little bit. Yeah. No, a little bit.
Okay. Squirrel assassin.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like an incredible array of inventions. Good luck with everything.
Thank you, Jack.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
God almighty, you're difficult. So today we have a really interesting guest.
Would you kindly tell me who this guest is?
Sure. He's a Russian
Now, I don't want you to think that this is a political thing per se. He is, his name is Dmitry Ulyanov, and he is the head of the Russian Olympic Committee.
Oh, the guys that got banned from the Olympics?
Absolutely. They were just in the news recently because Russia has been banned from participating in the 2020 Olympic Games, which is a big deal. I mean, you know, their athletes have obviously been preparing for years and years to get to this point.
Yeah.
And
but maybe stop cheating, Russia.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I think we can really take him to task for some of this stuff.
Absolutely.
So I'm really looking forward to that. So should we bring him on out?
I believe we should.
Awesome. So Dmitry Ulyanov, I want to... Oh my... What is that? It's a sinkhole.
Jack.
Brian, where are you?
At the bottom of the sinkhole.
Did you do this on purpose?
No. Can I just blame fracking?
You sure that always works?
I blame fracking. Can you get me out of here?
Yeah, let me interview this guy first.
All right. Ask a lot of questions.
Okay, I will. Good advice. Thank you.
So cold.
That was something else, folks. I apologize. Well, don't worry about him. I'd like to introduce and welcome our guest today, Dmitry Ulyanov, head of the Russian Olympic Committee. Welcome, Dmitry.
Welcome. Thank you.
Hello, Dmitry.
Hello. Thank you for having.
You're welcome. Can you just slide your chair because I don't want you too close. See that giant hole?
Yes, I will. What is...
It's called a sinkhole.
Ah, I think it's very deep.
Yeah, it's very deep. So just please just slide over and just be careful. Okay?
I will watch, yes.
We've already lost one man today and I'd hate to lose you before we get a chance to talk.
Losing one man is a tragedy.
Yes. But
losing many men is a statistic. Is a Stalinist quote.
That's a Stalinist quote.
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes.
He seemed like are you a fan of his?
He's not so bad. You know, if you think, you rethink about him, he's a role model, you know, to many people.
Like who?
Many people. He made things happen, you know.
Uh-huh. What sort of things did he make happen for the Russian people?
He helped people to emigrate to Siberia and other parts of Russia that normally no one wanted to live in. So he said, oh, no, I think maybe you'd like to live there. And they say, oh, okay, now I think I shall go there and visit and stay there forever.
Wow, and stay there forever.
Yes, well, they liked it.
Oh, okay. So it's he's almost like a tourism minister.
Yes, he was like a director of moving people to places to make them appreciate nature.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are in this place. You do not need tools to dig. You just dig with your hands maybe you don't need food. You can find food somewhere else or your friend.
What sort of people would he show the way to this area?
Well, people who would be good to send to the woods or into cold places. You know, academics, of course. The people who maybe have opinions.
Okay.
People who had the money or things. That other people didn't have, you send them and you say, oh, you go over there now.
Okay. And then who keeps their money and things?
Usually the people in charge of sending other people places.
Like Stalin?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Very nice houses.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, thanks for that little Russian history lesson.
Sure.
Now I'd like to talk about something a little bit more, some Russian history that's very recent.
Of course, yes.
And that is the World Anti-Doping Agency has just handed down the most severe punishment in history to Russia over the doping saga that has plagued Russian Olympic teams and Russian Olympic athletes. Your country has been banned from the Summer Games in Tokyo this year and from the 2022 Winter Games in Beijing. So you are not going to compete in the Olympics for another 4 years. I mean, that's an incredible penalty. What do you have to say to this?
We well, of course, we have the X Games. You know, it's not a total loss. You know?
Okay.
We have excellent snowboarders.
Uh-huh.
And skiing, and the riding the snowmobiles up a ramp. This is very good.
Wait, what are Russian X Games like?
Russian X Games? Well, we have the prisoner toss.
Okay.
We have the gulag to gulag race. You run from one gulag to the next, and the next you make your way across all of Russia.
Okay.
Very big space.
I bet that would take a while.
It does take long. People still running from the 1934.
For the 1934 X Games?
Yes.
Wow.
They're still going.
Okay. Must be fairly old gentlemen or
yes, most of them are not. They're running out of steam, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. And what? And now, are the Russian? I'm gonna straight up ask you this.
Yes.
Look me in the eye and answer me this question.
Okay.
Are the Russian X Game athletes clean?
Very clean. They take showers. Yes.
No. Okay. Do the Russian X Game athletes use performance enhancing drugs?
Wouldn't you?
What? No, it's against the rules and it's healthy, safe.
Have you ever played Risk?
Sure. Yes. The board game.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Now, if you could just, you know, maybe you're playing Risk and now you're okay. You hold on to Kamchatka, you know, you keep the United States from attacking you, but now you take, inject yourself with some steroids and horse food and tranquilizers and things. And now you're really good at Risk.
Okay.
Really good.
Right.
Wouldn't you want to continue to be really good at Risk? Monopoly.
Okay.
What if you could always get Boardwalk and land on Boardwalk and Park Place and buy both hotels and everybody else is screwed? Wouldn't you do that every time you could?
Well, I mean, it's just kind of fun to play the game.
Fun when you have Park Place and Boardwalk, which you can do if you inject a lot of drugs into your body.
Okay, sure. Yes.
Okay, then. I rest my case. Why can't we play in the Olympics?
Well, because it's illegal to put those substances in your body. It's just,
says who?
Says the Olympic rule book.
I didn't read it. Did you see how big it is? It's huge.
I've not seen it.
Who's going to read such a thing? Do you read the terms of service every time you do something on the internet?
To be honest, I've never read those.
Oh, and what if it says in there, you're not supposed to drink coffee? And I did not know. I violated the terms of service. And now I can't do America Online.
Yeah, I would hate to lose my AOL account.
That's correct. Yeah,
from 20 years ago.
Who's going to read all these rules? Oh, rules! Oh, you have to do this. Oh, you can't take this little pill. Oh, you can't inject this horse steroid into your body. Oh, you have to pee in the cup, and it has to be your pee if we test it. What is your problem? That's ridiculous.
It's the rules, and what? Okay,
rules is smulge.
What are you? What do you do to your athletes?
Oh, what don't we do?
Okay, start with that then. What don't you do to your athletes?
Well, we train, of course. We're training them all the time.
Good.
So, depending on the sport. Okay. What if you are a bodybuilder? You're lifting weights.
Sure. Yeah?
Well, you go to the gym. You lift your weights. You lift your weights. You build up your muscles. You take your pills. You take your pills. You lift your weights.
Like
you inject the steroids. You inject the steroids. You lift your weights. You're bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And soon you can snap a Mazda in half.
Okay. Well, that seems like, that doesn't seem like a great training regimen. It seems like that's just cheating and unhealthy. What are you injecting into these people?
Passion for sports. Not want to win? I'm injecting winning, Jack.
You're injecting winning into your athletes.
Yes, the winning spirit.
Okay, those are bodybuilders. Talk me through, because, I mean, you guys have gotten hammered for everything. Talk me through, a Russian gymnast, like a little. Yes,
we have the best gymnasts in the world.
So, let's say, these 14, 16-year-old
gymnasts with the, on the balance beams and doing their floor routines with their jumps and their leaps and stuff. What,
of course.
Tell me like what the Russian version of that is.
Well, you know, you're a 14, 15 year old Russian girl. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. You are 8.5 feet tall. Okay. 400 pounds. It's a very, very difficult to hold on these bars and to swing your body.
Uh-huh.
So you need to take more of assisting chemicals to help you hold
assisting
on.
Chemicals.
Well, of course, because you are so big and so heavy.
Yes.
How can you gymnast? How can you swing from bars if you're so heavy and you do not have giant muscles coming out of your body? It seems like an obvious question. Why would you not want assistance for your body to hold on to these railings and to do your flips and hang from the rings and do all these things? It's very important to have as much strength as possible. And you have that strength by injecting things into your body on a daily basis.
That normally you would, because this is your words, normally stuff you inject into horses? You said horses.
Yes, strong horses.
Okay. I mean, maybe that's not safe. The body chemistry, you do understand that the chemistry of the body of a horse is different than the chemistry of a 14-year-old girl.
There's a lot, they have a lot in common, you see.
Yeah.
They do. They're both quite tall, 8 feet, 8.5 feet, 9 feet.
Okay.
They both have beautiful manes.
God.
They can both gallop. They both say, nay. Why is it such a problem?
When are those girls saying nay?
When they see hay. They get excited. They want to eat it.
Okay. So your gymnast team wants to eat hay.
When they're hungry, yes.
Okay.
And they love apples. Or they go crazy for apples.
What's it like being a Russian Olympic athlete? It feels like there might be a lot of pressure to do well.
Well, of course, yes. We still want to show that we have better athletes than the West. And we have better steroids. We have better amphetamines. We have better everything, really.
And how do you motivate your athletes to be their best?
Well, there's a regimen of training, of course. I mean, first of all, there is the passion they have for their homeland.
Of course.
And for showing, representing Mother Russia to the world. Mm-hmm. And they are representatives. That is, of course, the biggest part. But also, you know, maybe they get pictures of their mother, father sent to them, or their children sent to them with threatening words on the back. Like maybe the last picture of them says, or something like this. Unless you get the good results, you know.
Uh-huh.
Give us a 10 is all I'm saying. I remember one now that we did. It was for the gymnast.
Uh-huh.
And it says, here's a picture of your puppy.
Oh, gosh.
Bag says, we need a 9.6 or higher.
Okay.
That's all it says, but it's motivating.
So you remember the specific example. What did that gymnast get? What was her score?
I don't recall the score exactly.
Okay.
But now she has more time to practice because she doesn't have to go home to walk her puppy.
Because the dog was adopted by another family?
That's a euphemism you use in the West?
No, that was a legitimate question. I meant every word literally.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, we say different.
Well, what would you say?
Your dog was tossed into the back of a Black Maria and drove off in the middle of the night.
Just for a dog? Just to kidnap and murder a dog?
I didn't say murder. You just say there's unanswered questions, you see.
Okay.
Which is a running theme in the country.
If I wanted to, I bet it is. If I wanted to interview the dog for the podcast, where could I find the dog?
I'll get you a dog.
No. I don't need a dog. I want that dog.
Well, unfortunately, there's a difference between the Germans and the Russians.
Okay, what's the difference?
The Germans kept very good records. Uh-huh. Russians, not so much.
Okay. Okay. Huh. Okay. And so you sent a team in to kidnap the dog at the middle of the night. And then we don't know what happened.
Well, she got better at gymnastics. I can tell you that.
The dog?
No, no.
Yeah, that's what I thought. What changes are you making to your program, to your training, to your Olympic committee to see that this doesn't happen again?
Well, once the sanctions were announced, we had a big meeting. All of us, all the top people, we all sat together in the room and they said, okay, well, this is terrible. This is a tragedy for the athletes, of course, who this passion they have to perform and now they can't.
Yep.
So it's a tragedy for Russia because we want to show them the world how good we are at sports. So what can we do to not get caught next time?
Okay.
And so we
not,
have-
Not cheat, right? Hmm? You would just not cheat.
You're not joke.
No, it wasn't a joke. I guess it was
no, we had not considered this. But so we sit in the room and we say, okay, what can we think? How can we be devious, tricky? You know, we like to outwit, right?
Yeah.
So almost in a way you've created a new Olympics.
Oh.
A brain Olympics. So how can we be smarter than these people and get the gold medal in not getting caught?
Okay. Okay.
You understand? Yeah?
I do understand.
So this is what we do.
Okay.
So we have very smart people working in ways we can do. Oh, you know, all the, of course, tradition. Oh, can we use different blood and urine from other people? Well, no, obviously we have problems. We get caught, you know. Oh, can we create kind of like the undetectable poisons we like to use?
Yeah, of course.
Could we create undetectable steroids?
Yes,
maybe. Uh-huh. Okay, we work on this.
Okay.
You know, we always think.
Yeah. Okay.
Always thinking. One idea we have and is not perfect is we have a big suitcase.
Okay.
And it's filled with clean blood.
Okay.
And so what we do is the athlete, he has to report for these tests, the blood test.
Yeah.
So the suitcase, he holds it and in his hand, it injects into his hand. It takes all the blood out of his body and puts in clean blood right before he walks in the door to give his blood.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. That is the idea.
Okay.
So far, we have not synchronized the blood withdrawal with the blood replacement.
And, that sounds like maybe some bad health results.
For the shot put guy, yes.
Well, what happened to the shot put guy?
The blood came out of his body, so he got very tired and died on the entering the building.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Not the response we are looking for, obviously. So we
he's
work
more
on
the
this.
Kaput guy.
Yeah, no, he's now kaput. You make a joke. It's
thank you.
Too yeah. soon.
I'm sorry, that was too soon. You're right.
So he's, so now, you know, we work. So that's one idea we have. But we have many ideas.
Okay.
Or maybe, you know, you are the person who in charge of testing. You're impartial.
Okay.
But you know, are you impartial if I might kill your wife? Yeah, how impartial are you now?
No, I don't... I'm scared. I'm going to alert authorities that
if you say anything, your wife is dead.
No. Okay.
So you say the clean blood or.
Perfect. I have a life insurance policy and you're solving a lot of problems for me. Thank you.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Had not thought that kind of outcome. So now, obviously, we have to go back to our table. We have to rework what we're going to do and how we are going to get the gold in outwitting.
Okay. Yeah. I certainly believe in you. I certainly believe in
mother. We have time. We have 4 years.
You've got 4 years to get it right. Yes, absolutely. What happens to an athlete after he or she retires from the sport? Like these 8.5-foot teenage girls you talk about.
Yes, of course.
After their Olympic days are done, when they hit the age of 20, 24, maybe even that can be old, let's say 24, what happens to them?
Well, there's, of course, you know, they are enjoying the fame from being a respected athlete. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the steroids and the drug cocktails, sometimes their uterus is a desiccated husk. Mm-hmm. which is unfortunate because making child having is not going to be.
Right.
Also difficult when you're 8 foot a woman to find a guy who is like, oh, I like you.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
I'm sure.
Very difficult. So we have an island.
Oh.
Kind of in the northeast of Russia.
Uh-huh.
Called Athlete Island.
Athlete Island.
Yes.
Okay.
And we
like the Olympic Village.
Kind of, yes. But it's a big, it's an island.
Okay.
3 kilometers by a kilometer or so.
Mm-hmm.
And they can live there.
Okay. Just these giant, I mean, almost like a skull island where you put like King Kong and Godzilla and those creatures out.
Well, we give them a lot. We give them bags of flour.
Okay.
And we leave them to their, leave them be.
That's a good Russian retirement, to be honest with you.
Yes. Well, we have a lot of practice with this.
Yes, I bet you do.
Yes. And sometimes, their uteruses and women things are not desiccated.
Oh.
They're not completely destroyed.
Okay.
So then these can be put out for stud.
Oh, excuse me?
So the idea is they make maybe a baby who has a lot of the properties of a steroided, doped up athlete, but is natural. So our hope is maybe we can create a race of super athletic people from the previous generation.
So what do these babies come out like when they're born?
Well, they come out full head of hair, large muscles.
Definition. A
tendency to want to do gymnastics or something, or...
Out of the womb.
Out of the womb. It's very remarkable, yes. But the problem is they slowly wither and they seem to fall apart. There's something wrong. I don't know.
That's strange.
We're working on it. But they start out very strong, but it looks like their bodies burn out very quickly.
It's sort of like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark where all the...
Yes, they fall apart. They melt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And actually melt. That's very accurate. They melt a lot.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's sad.
Well, maybe you should stop putting those women out to stud.
Like, we're going to, it's not a perfect science. You know, you have to try and try again and try.
Okay.
Again,
Well, I think we've learned a lot about the Russian Olympic scandal. Well, thank you for being here.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to come here and talk. Feel bad for your friend.
I wouldn't say he's my friend. And don't feel bad for him. If you knew him, you'd be fine.
Okay.
You'd be fine with his fate. Thank you for reminding me, though. I have to close the podcast, and then I said I was going to do something regarding him, and I don't remember what it was. Doesn't matter. Dimitri, thank you so much for being here. I would say good luck in 2024, but I wouldn't mean it. So.
Oh, well, we will see you soon enough on the field of battle. I mean, the Olympics, what? Of course. No, not that battle. I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Wait, what?
Nothing. I said nothing.
Why are you packing up your stuff?
Because I'm scared. No, they're going to come for me.
What's in that briefcase? Is that blood? You don't have to be clean to do this interview. You know, I don't test you.
You never know these days. They always maybe they test you. Maybe there's a podcast there. Maybe you have to give blood.
That's different in this country.
Well, then I won't use.
Okay, good. Yeah, please don't.
TSA was such a bitch, though.
I bet they were. Thank you.
More than 3 ounces. They're like, oh, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's a suitcase full of blood.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Jack.
Thank you. And
do svidaniya, as we say.
Sure. Yes, you do. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. If you like the podcast, go ahead and give us a good review. Tell your friends. Let's grow this thing. Thank you so much for listening, and we can't wait to see you next week. Brian?
That was questionable material. Website is qmpodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. We have an email newsletter you'd like. Jack? Jack?